Welcome to the weekly teaching program from Finally Alive Ministries with pastor and counselor, Gary Aris. Gary is a full-time pastoral counselor and teacher of God's Word. He has a remarkably deep passion to see people set free in Christ. You may call our prayer line at 657-246-2464 or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. That's prayer@finallyalive.com. Now, let's join Gary as he shares some amazing truth from God's counsel in this week's teaching.
Hello, and thank you for joining me again today. You're listening to Finally Alive Radio. You can visit us at finallyaliveradio.com and download this show and every other show. My name's Gary. I'm your very own Christian counselor. And today I'm going to talk about something that is the most important thing. If I could talk about anything, this is the most important thing. This is more important than any message I've preached. This is more important than family, than Christianity, than doctrines, than end times, marriage, the topic of homosexuality, and on and on and on. There's no topic that's more important than what I'm going to talk about today. In fact, I'm going to ask you to go to finallyaliveradio.com and download this show onto your phone or your computer. It's episode 23. And I want you to share this show with anyone that you know. This show must go viral. It must go all over the place, literally all over the planet. It's that important. The topic of today is, what does it mean to be saved or born again? My friends, without being saved, all the other topics mean nothing. They're worthless, they're useless, unless we get this part right. We can debate and talk about every other topic, but this specific topic I hold to the strictest form, because there's nothing more important than being saved. I don't care how morally good you are. I don't care how much money you have. Because if you're not saved, all of it will perish. You can have the greatest family and have the greatest family values. You can be the greatest Republican, Democrat, and everything else. But it will all perish. The one thing that doesn't perish is you being born again, being saved by the blood of Christ. So if you haven't gotten the clue yet, I take this topic the most serious. If you really think about this, this is even more serious than life and death. And what I mean by that is Matthew 10:28. Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And that's what I mean when I say this is more important than even life or death, because here Jesus talks about a second death. There's one thing, you can kill the body, right? The body will perish. It'll go back to dust. But here, Jesus, God in the flesh, tells us about a second death. A death of the soul. And that's what we're talking about today, your soul. The body will perish, but the soul will live on. The question is, where will it live? This topic is what true spirituality is. There's a lot of talk out there about, oh, I'm just spiritual, and I just do my own thing, and I go and meditate, and I get spiritual. Hey, good for you, but that's not spirituality. What we're going to talk about today is the spirituality. Nothing outdoes this message. If something were to happen to me tomorrow, this is the message that I want to live on. So now it's official. It's recorded, okay? So let's get into our topic here. You know, and people talk about, you know, born again, being born again. So what is it to be born again? That's what we want to look at. In John chapter 3, and I'll start at verse 1 just for the sake of context, it says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" Verse 3, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" So verse 3, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" Now, I want to get into a little technical piece to this. Now, the word for again, born again, the word again is the word anothen in the Greek. Now, remember, the New Testament is written in the Greek. I say all that because the word again can actually be translated also to the word above. Now, there are cases when the word anothen is again, but it seems like in this case, a better word might be for anothen is above. So let me reread that. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I think it makes better sense to say it that way, because another clue for the change there would be in verse 31. And this is John speaking. He says, "He who comes from above is above all." So when he uses the word above the first time there, it's the word anothen. So just looking at a couple of clues like that, and there's more to it, we don't need to get into all that, but just showing you a couple of clues why I think that word from above would be a better translation. And plus, I think it makes better sense. So what does it mean to be born from above? And if we read John 3:31 and 32, we have an understanding of who is born from above. Again, verse 31 says, "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, of that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony." So here he is telling you who is born from above. That's Jesus himself. Verse 33 says, "He who has received his testimony," speaking of Jesus' testimony, "has set his seal to this, that God is true." So what is the point of being born from above? The idea would be that you are born, spiritually speaking, into a new family, which is God's family. Again, it's a spiritual birth. How are you spiritually born? Simply, if you will believe. You know, the word faith is used a lot among Christians, and that's exactly what we need, is faith. Faith in what he said. Just like it says in verse 33, "He who has received his testimony." If you receive it, that means you believe it. You have faith in what he says, and that's how you get that seal. And what is the seal? That God is true. I'll even throw the word loyal. God wants loyalty. What's loyal? I believe. I'll go his way. Sometimes it may not make sense, but I'm going to have faith in God, because God is true. And family comes above anything. In this case, the spiritual family, God's family. God is big on family. And that's why I'm big on natural families, my family. And I hope you are too, because it is a type of God's family. So what is it that you have to believe? And simply, all you must believe is in what Jesus did, his work. And his work was what? And here it is in a couple statements. Jesus was crucified. Jesus died. And on the third day, Jesus rose again. His rising from the dead becomes the proof to us as believers that one day we too will rise. Our souls will live on. His rising from the dead is the proof of that. If you believe what Jesus did, you and I are part of the same family then. You go to heaven just believing that. And this is where the loyalty part comes in. Because not everyone will believe that. You know, John says it in verse 32. No one received his testimony. So nothing new under the sun, guys. There's going to be some who don't believe. Some will listen to this message and say, ah, rubbish. I can't change your mind. It's got to be God's spirit that moves on you. It's not me. Hopefully, though, the Lord will use this message for some people to come to the Lord. Now, if you think about what I'm saying, this might go against maybe what you grew up with or what you believe, depending on denominations and what church you go to. And for some people, this is problematic. You know, I grew up in churches of orthodoxy. I've attended Catholic masses. And I went to Protestant churches, non-denominational. So I've seen quite a bit in different belief systems. Now, thank God, all of them have this aspect in the sense of believing in Jesus. But here is where I will differ with orthodoxy and Catholicism. Doesn't mean that they're less than, it doesn't mean that they're not saved and they can't go to heaven. But I want to make this very, very clear. The one and only thing that makes me born from above, again, spiritually speaking, is that I believe in the resurrected Jesus Christ. That is what saves my soul. My loyalty is to that. Now, here's where we differ. I don't believe there's something I can do to earn this. There's nothing I can earn to be born from above. And I'll give you the analogy. I love how they use the word, you know, born. Did you do anything to be born? Of course not. It's the same idea with being born from above. I can't do anything to earn being born. Same concept. If I can't do anything to be born naturally, I can't do anything to earn being born from above. Spiritually. How ridiculous would it be if I went to my parents and said, oh, thank you so much that I'm born. I don't want you to make me unborn. And I start to do things and offer things to them and you know, and be nice. Let's say I was a horrible child. So I was a bad kid. Can I be unborn? Of course not. Once you're born, that's it. You can't be unborn. Here's my point. Once you're born from above, you can't be unborn from above. And the only thing I can do to lose my salvation is not to believe in the gospel, Jesus dying and resurrecting. That's it. That is the only requirement, that one piece of loyalty right there. Now, after I am, you know, born from above, as it says here, I'm a believer. The hope would be that your actions would begin to change and you would do good things and you would, you know, follow God and what he would like you to do in your life, obviously. But that doesn't mean that's what gets me saved. I think this is what a lot of people get wrong. Once I am saved, then I must act a certain way. It doesn't say that. It says simply on believing in Jesus, that's what gets you saved. I mean, this is the message from page one of the Bible. Loyalty to God. That's what he wanted from day one. Loyalty. He wants us to be loyal to him. And guess what would happen to those who weren't loyal to him? They would be destroyed. This is from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. It's the exact same message, except the New Testament, it makes it very obvious. Here's what you got to do. Just believe. Believe and do other things? No, that's it. Just believe. Well, how does someone know if I'm a believer on the street? If I'm not doing something? That's the point. It's not something that you can see on the outside. It has to be something that's on the inside. This is the difference between spirituality and just being a good person. Like, I've met a lot of good people, nice people. You know, very charitable people. But they didn't believe in God. They just did good things. Great, good for them. But being charitable and doing nice things isn't what gets you saved. What gets you saved is simply believing. Loyalty. Now, think about what I'm about to say. If I was imperfect when God saved me, why would He require me to be perfect to stay saved? If I was saved being imperfect, I can't be unsaved if I am still imperfect. Let me say that again. If I am imperfect when I was saved, I can't be unsaved because I'm imperfect. It's all about loyalty. And see, this is what I think a lot of people miss from the Old Testament. You know, yes, there were commandments, of course. 10 commandments and then 613 commandments. Those were all there. And God said, follow these commandments. He said those things. But He didn't want us to worship commandments. See, the loyalty part wasn't to be loyal to the commandments. It was about you, your heart being loyal to God, thus following the commandments. Here's the most amazing part. If you're loyal to God, you're naturally going to follow His commandments. In a nutshell, what are the commandments? I mean, just the 10, if I can just really simplify it. Love God with all your heart, with everything you've got, and love your neighbor. That's what Jesus says, the two greatest commandments. That's what it is. Well, if I'm loyal to God, I'm naturally, and maybe even over time, do that, both of those. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, say that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, there it is, that's your gospel right there, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, there's your gospel, you will be saved. It says nothing about what you must do outside of believing. It doesn't say you have to go to church every Sunday. It doesn't say you have to follow commandments. Now, if you're smart, you'll go to church. That's a whole different topic. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. The one and only requirement is belief in Jesus Christ. This is what spirituality is. Not mantras. That doesn't make you any more spiritual. You're meditating on nothing. Doesn't make you more spiritual. Sure, it clears your mind. Great, wonderful. How about you meditate on Jesus? How about you meditate on God and how I can be more loyal to God? In fact, I dare you to do that. See what God does. So what is it to be saved? What are you saved from? See, this is a good question. Saved from what? See, we have to realize that humanity owes a debt to God. God gave us something in the beginning, and man was disobedient, and it has broken humanity so much that it has tainted, if I could say it that way, it has tainted the degree of our DNA, if I could say it that way. It's that deep. This is that whole sin nature talk. There's that saying, we're not sinners because we sin. Rather, we sin because we're sinners. We are born broken. Many people don't understand this. We are born broken. We are born, in a sense, really imperfect. Human. Broken. That's a statement that I stand by. Man is broken. If you can start there, man is broken and it needs fixing. You're on the right path. If you believe man can be fixed by human abilities, my friend, you're on the wrong path. You're going the wrong way. Because sure, man, we can put really good band-aids on people, But unless they're saved, they truly will never be fixed. The human condition will never be fixed. People tell me, what do we do with evil in the world? I simply say nothing. They say, what? How could you say that? You wouldn't try to help? I didn't say I wouldn't try to help. I'll help. I have hope in God. I have hope in the gospel. But that's where my hope is. It's in God, not in man. You know what helps me sleep at night? Because I've accepted the fact that the world is broken, wicked, and evil. Guess what comes out of broken, wicked, and evil? Broken, wicked, and evil actions. It's going to happen. It's a dirty, disgusting world, is the way I like to say it. It just is. I wish the world could be saved. But the truth of the matter is, it won't. Not because of the lack of God. See, this is the tricky part. It isn't the issue with God. God is perfect. But he has given you the ability to freely choose. See, this is the most amazing part about our God compared to any other gods that I've read about. God just simply states the facts. Here I am, here's my son, in a nutshell. Believe in him, you and I were family. That's it. But he puts the decision on you. Will you follow him? Will you believe in him? Some won't. Some will deny him. That wasn't God. That wasn't God's fault. See, put the blame where it belongs. That is on the person who doesn't want to believe. That's on them. See, it's not impressive if God made everyone just believe in him. It wouldn't be impressive. Because obviously he can do that. It's more impressive to say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to give them what they need to know, but they have the choice. That's what true love is. Choice. Freedom. That's what love is right there. So as I was saying, there's a debt that is owed by humanity to God. And it is impossible to pay this debt. Impossible. There's no amount of money, no amount of goodness, no amount of law-keeping that could pay down the debt. Even if we could pay down the debt, we'd still owe the same, if not more, the following day. And here's the issue. Is because we owe that debt, there will be a final judgment. And you will have to see if you can pay that debt. Of course, no one will be able to pay that debt. Thus, they will be judged and be separated from God, going to hell. But how can you get rid of the debt? You can't pay the debt. But there was one who paid the debt, and that was Jesus. That's the difference. Jesus pays the debt with his own blood. As you can see, there was a death there. Jesus pays with his own blood, resurrects the third day, defying everything scientific, and now you're saved. In a sense, Jesus was the loophole, if I could say it that way. In the Old Testament, you see the way that they would pay their debt to God is by sacrificing animals, something innocent dying for the guilty. God uses the exact same method in the New Testament. If there could be someone who would sacrifice themselves, who was perfect, blameless, then we can even out the books. Ah, the perfect candidate, Jesus himself. He was perfect in every way. Sinless. Walked the earth as a human. Lowering himself from the deity that he is. For your sake. And the most amazing part is he didn't owe us this. But he loved us so much to sacrifice his own son. And I've heard the arguments, oh, who would sacrifice their own son? Let's think this one through. God sacrifices his son because he knows he's going to resurrect him again in 3 days. See, to say, oh, well, see, what kind of dad sacrifices his son is only half the story. See, sacrificing his son ended up being the greater good because he can get his son back. Remember, he's God. He can resurrect anyone he wants because he's God. He does what he wants. He runs the show. So let's not cheapen, you know, the gospel to that. So when you're saved, because you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you no longer are judged on salvation or on being saved or not, if you'll go to heaven or not. Now you'll be judged based on the good things that you did. So there's a different judgment for us as believers. And that's the good judgment. We're okay on that one. So ultimately, what you're saved from is that second death that we were talking about earlier, the death of the soul. Your soul is saved. Once again, you have life, true life. Your soul lives, and it will live on. It is saved. Don't ask me why, but God wants his family. And guess what? If you're a believer, you're part of his family. You know what's funny about families? Is there are some who are good, some who are nice, and some who are bad, and some who are not so nice. Just life. Because you live on earth, you're going to experience that. You're going to see some churches that are great, some churches that are not so great. Just the way it is. Some are very good doctrinally. Some are kind of weird. Just the way it is. But the most important thing is you want to be part of God's family. The most important thing, by all means. God is big on family. I know I'm going to end with this. Exodus chapter 4, just to show you how important family is to God. This goes all the way back to the second book, right here. He says it clearly. Exodus 4, verse 21 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'When you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go.'" Verse 22 says, "Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn.'" God is big on family. Now, in the Old Testament, Israel specifically was his son. It was all about election. In the New Testament, God allows, through his son, Jesus Christ, to open the floodgates to anyone who will believe. Your sins are no longer the issue because they are wiped away, forgotten, no longer accounted for by God. Now, is that a license for you to go and find ways to sin? Absolutely not. That is foolishness. But you are now saved by his grace. My friend, if you're willing to believe that right now today, you are saved. You would be considered born from above, a spiritual rebirth. Being part of a family, a spiritual family, the greatest family you can ever be part of, the family of God. If everything else in your life goes wrong, let this be the only thing that goes right. Being born from above, being saved from a judgment of death, and being saved from a second death, the death of your soul. Let this be the one thing that goes right. If this is the only thing that goes right in your life, I'm telling you, it's worth it. Think about it. The agony of this life that we live on earth is nothing compared to the agony of eternity without God. There's no comparison. I would even say, you know, the agony and torture that you go through on in this finite life that we live as humans is worth it in return for an infinite life with God. Believe in his son, Jesus Christ. You will be considered born from above. Your debt to God will be paid in full. Your sins will be wiped away. God will no longer see sin when he looks at you. He will look at you and say, "Ah, my son, ah, my daughter." He will consider you family again. All you have to do is have faith. Be loyal. Until next time, God bless you.
Thank you again for joining us on this week's program with pastor and counselor Gary Harris of Finally Alive Ministries. We pray that if God has touched your heart with any part of today's teaching, you would respond and move into the healing that God has for you. Visit us at finallyalive.com. There, you can download this episode for free, email your concerns, questions, or share a story of how God is using this teaching to help you grow in Christ and His freedom. If you'd like to call our prayer line, you may do so at 657-246-2464. That's 657-246-2464, or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. We will meet you again next week at this same time when we look at God's Word with pastor and counselor Gary Harris and learn how to finally be alive in Christ.